continue our one word study tonight. And the word we're going to be looking at tonight, I think sometimes there is some confusion when you think about this word. And I think sometimes even our translations don't really do the word justice in relation to the meaning of the word or really how the word is to be represented when we're looking at it, because there's several forms as you look at the word in the Greek. But when you begin to parse out the Greek word or look at the syllabication of it, that is breaking down the compound meaning of the word, it kind of helps us better to understand the preface of what it means and what it truly means for us to repent. Metanoia is the Greek word for repent. The word meta in the beginning portion of that means after or afterwards. And noia simply means to think or to perceive. So when you think about the compound form of the word, it means to think afterwards. So when you think about the idea of repentance, a lot of times people think the word repentance means to be sorry for something, or perhaps I'm not going to do that again. So I'm going to tell you that I repent of what I've done, but that's not really what the word repentance means. When you think about what Paul records for us in 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verses 9 and 10, he talks about the idea of what it means to fully repent. Repentance works or talks about sorrow unto salvation, to the form of what it means to truly repent or to change one's mind. You see, really that's all repentance is. It's to think differently about what I did that brings about the attitude of sorrowfulness of what I've done to the person or what I've done to God. So for me to truly repent means to think about or to bring about a change of mind, and with the action of repentance brings about the change of life. So for me to simply say that I'm sorry is not necessarily the idea of what repentance is in relation to salvation. Repentance, or in relation to what Paul says, sorrow works repentance unto salvation. So there's the first step in the idea of what repentance is. Because I'm sorry for what I did, which brings about the idea that I've got to change the way I think, because what I did brought about the feelings of guilt. You see, many people simply think it's a complete change of action, but that's not the idea of what repentance is or what we want to talk about tonight. If you don't understand repentance, can you say that you truly repented then? Because it brings about the idea of changing my mind in what I've done or what I think about how I'm acting as a child of God. Because the idea of repentance, you see, sometimes when we think about that, and when you look at it in relation to the gospel plan of salvation, right? Oftentimes when we think about the gospel plan of salvation, we think it's only for a new Christian, but it's not. You see, because it applies to all of us as God's children, even to those who have already been added to the church by the blood of Christ. Because we have to continue to believe and listen and hear what we believe, right? So then faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. I've got to continue to have faith in what God delivers to me through the word. Because we know people can stop being believers, right? Even the Hebrew writer said we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things that we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. That is, those Hebrews were falling away, and the Hebrew writer said you've got to continue to have courage and to stay true to the Word of God. So don't fall away from that. So when we think about this idea of the gospel plan of salvation, for me to be saved is to follow the plan that God gives me concerning salvation. So for me, the idea is when I think about repentance, I think about the idea that sometimes I make mistakes and I've got to change the way I think about the mistakes that I'm making in life. Because many times we could look at a particular mistake and think, well, it's really not that big of a deal, is it, in relation to my salvation? So I understand that I'm not going to be baptized again, but doesn't therein lie the idea of what I must do to continue to remain faithful? Revelation 2 and verse 10, to receive that star, that crown of righteousness that Jesus is talking about there. So the idea is that I must have a present awareness of what I'm doing always in relation to how I'm thinking as a child of God. So what brings about the sorrow, that is, my conscience is beginning to tell me something's not right here. So I've got to change this. And what is it that I've done that causes me to feel this way, that I've got to begin to think that this is a sin? And obviously, when we think about where we learn those things, it's from the Word of God. Because it's what makes us complete. It makes us whole when we think about being God's children. But when you examine yourselves and when we examine ourselves in relation to repentance, we've got to ask ourselves if we truly have repented. So I want to look at two particular accounts that we have in the Bible. The first is to go to the book of Jonah, and even Matthew chapter 12, Jesus talks about this idea of repentance. Even when you go over to Matthew chapter 21 and you look at the account of the two sons that were told to do something, and we'll talk about that for a few moments too. But when you think about the idea of the Ninevites, it said that they heard the preaching of Jonah. But we understand, I've got to hear the Word of God for it to convict me of what I'm doing. And the Word of God is really good at convicting us or pricking us or pointing us in the right direction that we might do that which God wants us to do. So they heard the preaching of Jonah, and because they heard the preaching that he was instructed to do, they heard the truth. And when they heard the truth, they came to understand that the God of heaven was condemning the way that they were living. So, I'm going to put it to you this way. This is how I truly understood repentance when I was growing up. You see, when I would get in trouble when I was a teenager, because I wasn't always the perfect child, I know you can't believe that. But when I would get in trouble, my parents would sit me down at the dining room table, and I would get a lecture. And that lecture would last for hours. And my mother would tell me why I did that, and why I shouldn't do those things, and how I've got to improve these things, and how I shouldn't do those things again. And this would go on and on and on. And finally, I would say, okay, I'm sorry for what I did. And my mom said, that doesn't cut it. Sorry tells me nothing, she would say. Your actions determine how sorry you are. Because doesn't the Bible tell us that fruits work repentance unto salvation? So it's not simply the idea of expressing that I repent. It's showing the action that I'm willing to repent and changing the way that I'm thinking and the way that I'm living. So when the Ninevites heard the preaching of Jonah, knowing they were condemned of God, it said that they, what? Tore their clothing and they repented at the preaching of Jonah. That is, they changed their mind. The action showed they tore their clothing. Therefore, they were showing the fruits of repentance of saying, we're not going to live this way anymore. You know, perhaps it was because Jonah was a confirmed prophet, but their life changed. Why? They went from pride to humility, when we see the idea of what it was to show the sackcloth repentance. That is, they were expressing that outward form of what it meant to repent. From satisfaction to self-denial, it talks about them fasting because they were expressing to God that they were truly sorry and showing the repentance aspect of what they were doing. They also went from, as you look at Jonah 3 and verse 8, they went from idolatry to true worship. So they knew idolatry was wrong, so therefore they knew to show repentance and to show the fruit of that repentance, they had to begin to worship the one true God. The temples closed their doors, the nightlife shut down, no drinking, no carousing, peace and calm enveloped the entire city. So we see that Jonah preached the word of God to them, therefore it struck in their minds that we're not living correctly, and they began to think afterwards, as we see the word metanoia in the Greek words, they begin to perceive and think that what they were doing was wrong. So that's the first step concerning salvation in Jesus Christ. So when someone begins to teach somebody the gospel and they open up the Word of God and they're showing them their ways, they begin to think, you know, I haven't been living the way I should or the way I need to be living. So therefore, it brings about this idea that I've got to change because the way I'm living is not in accordance with the Word of God. So therefore, I'm perceiving after the fact that the way I used to live is not what God wants me to do. So when we think about the idea of repentance, the first step is to recognize that what I'm doing is actually wrong. And in that, knowing I've got to produce something to show that I've actually repented of what I was thinking of. That's where the heart comes into play. When you think about Proverbs 22 and verse 6, for as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. So when I bring about the idea of changing my mind and changing my life, the heart, the spiritual aspect of my heart says I've got to bring forth the fruits of repentance to show that I'm truly telling God that I no longer want to be the person that I used to be. You see, you can't see repentance, you can only see its effects. Just as my mother used to say, you can say you're sorry all day long and say you've repented, but until I begin to see the actions that you're truly sorry, words mean nothing to me. God says the same thing to us. You see, we can express the idea of one that's coming to Christ, that I repent, but that's not the only process and the step of what it means to be saved or concerning our salvation. That's just the beginning process to say, Lord, I don't want to live this way anymore. Because I understand the way I used to live is not the way you want me to live, and it's not being holy or righteous. God says, okay, tell me who Jesus is then. Well, obviously, Jesus Christ is the Son of God. I've got to confess with my mouth unto salvation, Romans 10, 9 and 10, and we'll talk about that word next week. So as I confess, I've got to show that I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, so therefore I've got to show my fruits of repentance in the baptistry, right? Because I've got to be willing to submit to the authority of who Jesus is and know that in that baptistry I come into the contact with the blood of Jesus Christ, wherefore I'm buried with Him by baptism into His death, Romans 6, 3 and 4, to have all of my sins washed away. So I simply can't say I'm saved without showing the action of actually being saved. The religious world is confused with this idea of repentance. But really, when I think about the steps concerning salvation, religiously speaking, kind of a potpourri today, as they say, of accepting Christ into your heart, I don't see repentance anywhere in there. They simply say, believe, accept Christ for who He is, and you're going to be saved. But repentance is an extremely important step in the process of salvation. You go to Luke chapter 13 as Jesus is preaching there and talking about the individuals in the first five verses of Luke chapter 13. And within just a few verses, He repeats the idea of repentance twice. Jesus said, I tell you nay, except you perish, or except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. What was taking place here and what Jesus is talking about, we don't know why these things happened. We don't really have an historical record, but Jesus is referencing them. And the way they were thinking was individuals obviously were being punished because of their sins, so therefore God was killing them. Jesus said, that's not the way this is happening here. God doesn't punish us in relation to our taking us out because of our sin. They thought if they did something wrong or they weren't living correctly, then God was going to kill them. Jesus said, oh, that's not the way this is working. So He said, but let me tell you this, unless you change the way you're thinking, you're going to perish just like they perished. See the idea there of metanoia? You've got to begin to think to know that what they were doing also was wrong is why they perished. So when you think about the Ninevites, they heard the preaching of God. They were pricked in relation to what they were hearing in their hearts, but they changed the way they think, which brought about the change of action. So it's something that I've got to show. At the point of changing their minds, it said that they repented. So let's look at the prodigal son now, at Luke chapter 15. Obviously, the account we all know very well. And I think this really draws the contrast here of understanding truly what repentance is. We see in the context of verse 10 the subject matter of repentance. And it says, likewise I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repents. So in the context, Jesus is going to bring about the idea of what it means to repent in relation to how the prodigal son acts. So He's going to give us this entire account here of the prodigal son, the parable here, to show us exactly what true repentance is. And Jesus said, let me show you how you responded in relation to what repentance was. You see in verse 17, it says that he remembered from whence he had fallen. And when he came to him, or when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough to spare and to spare, and I perish with hunger? So he begins to understand the situation that he's in is not a good situation. There's the sorrow or the guilt beginning to build. I can't believe I'm in this pig pen, this muck and this mire, and my father's got servants back at the house that got more food than I have to eat. So you think he's feeling guilty now? You know, this isn't a situation I want to be in. So I understand that my actions have caused the place where I've come to in this life. You know what repentance is also about? Taking responsibility for your consequences and your actions. Because I have a responsibility to God to say, I'm the one who messed up here. That's exactly what the prodigal son did. It says that he came to himself. Man, this is not where I want to be. But where was it, and that we see in this particular account, that repentance begins to take place? It says that he brought it to action. He began his journey. He confessed his fault. But where is it that we see in this particular account that repentance actually came into play? Look at verse 18. When he said, I will arise and I will go to my father, and I will say to my father, I've sinned against you and I've sinned against heaven. That's where repentance came into play. I will brought about an action to say, I'm changing the way I think, so therefore I've got to do something about it, which brought about the fruits of repentance. So I will I know where I'm at right now, but I've got to do something about it. Could he have not just sat there in the muck and the mire and the pig pen and said, well, this isn't where I want to be, and my father's got a lot better things going on to the house than this. His people are taken care of, but I guess I'm good with it. How many people that I've seen that wallow in the muck and the mire of life that don't pull themselves out of that? They're simply satisfied of saying, well, I guess I kind of made my bed, so I got to lay in it now. God doesn't want you to lay in that muck and mire of life. He doesn't want you to be down there with the pig pen. But he also says you've got to do something about that situation by which you've caused. I put myself in this situation, so I've got to fix it. The Lord said, I'll help you get out of it, but you've got to take my hand. And so many times God is reaching to pick us up and help us along the way, and we just, I got this. Do you? Is that why you continue to walk around with mud on your boots? You see, the repentance aspects of Luke chapter 15 and verse 18 when he said, I will. I'm going to pick myself up and I'm going to start walking. And I'm going to walk until I get to my father and I'm going to tell my father, I made a mistake. Father, I've sinned against you. I've sinned against heaven. I've got to fix this and I want to fix this right now. It was at the moment that he determined to make the change in his life that true repentance was brought about. You see, that's the whole idea of what repentance really is. It's at the moment that I say, I'm going to fix this. Sometimes I think we treat repentance like a diet. It's a good idea. I'm thinking about it. I know it's probably going to be better for my health, but that's a lot of work. Got to begin to eat right. Need to exercise a little more. I'm good. But you see, true repentance says, you know what? If I want to be healthier, if I want to be better, if I want to live longer, if I want to lower my blood pressure, all of these things is going to require something on my part. God says true repentance requires something on your part. God said, I did my part at Calvary. It's your turn. So the prodigal son said, I've got to get out of this situation. Says that he came to himself. He understood that he was sorry for where he was at. But I will get up and go to the Father and I'll tell him I made the mistake here. You see, once again, there's a point after godly sorrow, 2 Corinthians 7:10, and before the fruits of good works in Matthew 3:8 that you read about is where repentance is found. So it's smashed in the middle of those two. So godly sorrow works repentance unto salvation, 2 Corinthians 7:9 and 10. And then after that brings about repentance, after that brings about the fruits of repentance that shows I'm truly sorry for what I did, so therefore I'm going to change the way that I live based on the way that I think. When you become a Christian, one of the biggest things that we struggle with is the fact that we've got to change the way we used to live and the way we used to think in life, right? If I've been living in the world for years, if perhaps I would like to come home and have a beer every now and then, well, guess what? When I come home from work now, the habit that I used to have no longer says I can reach in the refrigerator and grab a beer. But maybe that's not going to be as easy as I think. Maybe the things I used to watch or the things I used to listen to in the old life, that's really not going to be that big of a deal. But that was my habit, and that's the way that I've always done things. But now when I come into the picture of those worldly things that are in my path, I've got to begin to think, I don't need those things. I don't want those things to be in my path, and I've got to continually pay attention to those things that might trip me up, right? We talked about that suit of armor that we put on that we've got to continually have on our bodies whenever we go out into the world, always. The same thing applies in the way that we think and about what we do. Many times, too, when we think about the idea of repentance, repentance is also a very personal thing. You see, I can lay down at night and I can think through the day and say, well, you know, maybe I shouldn't have said that. You know, I'm really sorry for making that comment because I think it hurt their feelings. And I can close my eyes and I can pray to the Father, Father, I understand what I did. And I feel really bad for what I did, so please forgive me if perhaps I offended her or this person or I offended you. You see, that's the personal aspect of what repentance is. It brings about the idea that we're always aware of our surroundings and situational awareness. I'm always paying attention for the fact that I want to make sure that I'm walking the path of righteousness. And sometimes we stumble along that path because there's rocks here and there, but we get back up, we fix it, and we continue to move on. Since the day of Pentecost, God has proclaimed through the gospel that all men everywhere must repent, Acts 17 and verse 30. So that requires all of us in our step concerning receiving the gift of salvation. That's the step I must take. You think about Peter's announcement in Acts 2 and verse 38. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. You think about Paul's again's pronouncement in Acts 17 and verse 30 that God commands all men everywhere to repent. 2 Peter 3:9 as well. But you've got to ask yourself if you've truly repented, because this is of grave importance concerning your salvation. It's not simply saying, I'm sorry for the way I've acted as a Christian. I'm sorry for the way that I've acted towards anybody. It's truly showing that I'm sorry for what I did based upon how I used to think and the fruits that brings about the repentance that I'm no longer going to be that person. Remember, it's just like my mother used to say to me, you can say sorry all day long, son, but until you show me, that truly tells me that you're sorry. So how sorry are we? Are we simply giving lip service to God in relation to our service? Or are we truly sorrowful for what we've done? Because it brings about the idea, as I think about what I've done, I've got to change what I've done. So the first step says, Lord, I repent of my sins. And as I take the next step into the world today or tomorrow, I'm going to show you that I've truly repented based upon the fruits I'm going to lay at your feet. You see, God is watching everything that we do. We've got to ask ourselves if we truly repented, because the Bible tells us all Christians everywhere have to repent. And sometimes when we find ourselves in sin, we understand that we're commanded to repent. But you know where human beings struggle the most? Is grabbing onto this idea that we've made a mistake. Because I'm pretty sure if I've asked you to raise your hand tonight, that if you enjoy admitting when you're wrong, would you raise your hand? Nobody raised their hand. You see, but as a Christian, that's a thing we have to do all the time. Lord, I've made a mistake. I haven't maybe had the thoughts I should have today. Maybe I struggle with my patience today, Lord. Please forgive me. And tomorrow I'm going to show you that I'm truly working on that. Lord, help me be a better Christian, a better father, a better husband, whatever the case is. And today I'm going to show you, Lord, that I'm truly trying, and I'm going to make the effort to bring and bear forth those fruits of repentance as I can put them at your feet, so you'll be proud of me as one of your children. So, Lord, I want you to know that it's always on my mind every step of the day the way I think and what it truly means to repent and lay those at your feet. So what is repentance? Repentance is the change of mind, of will that follows godly sorrow that is shown by works of obedience. So tonight, have you truly repented? Have you truly laid those things before the feet of God to say, I no longer want to be that person, because, Lord, it is present on my mind always that that's not the person that I want to be. You see, tonight, if you are here and you are not a child of God, as we've already talked about, repentance is in the process of what it means to begin to receive the gift of salvation. And the beginning process is not hearing the word, but believing what has been spoken. Because with that, your faith is going to be built. And upon that, you must say, Lord, I've thought about the way I used to live, and I don't want to live that way anymore. So that's the step that I say, Lord, I also know who your son is and what he did for me at Calvary. I know the precious sacrifice that he paid on my behalf that I did not deserve, but you were willing to give it to me anyway. And then I say, Lord, I'm willing to submit to all that you've given unto me to bury and to put my sins away and to come into the contact with the blood of Jesus Christ and that watery grave of baptism. And that I can be raised to walk in newness of life with him as a new creature, as a new person, as a new man. But it doesn't stop there. Because from there, the devil says, now I've really got to work extra hard to get at you. And that's where the idea of what it means to live faithfully. I've got to strive every day, but also understanding because I'm a human being and because I make mistakes and because I fall short of the glory of God, all of us do, that I've got to understand that when I do make that mistake, that I consider and think about it always of what I must do to fix it and make it better. You see, we don't ever stop being God's children, brethren. So with that, I understand if I want to stay and walk in God's gracious love, as 1 John 1:7 tells me to do, if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Christ keeps on cleansing. So there's the idea that I can make a mistake, but guess what? If I pay attention to that, God's blood or Christ's blood is going to continually cleanse me from all unrighteousness. Isn't that what we want? So tonight, if you're here as a child of God and you've stumbled, but you've thought about what you've done and you need to change the things that you've done, fix those things tonight. And when you think about the idea of repentance, is something is bugging you, is nagging at you, is pulling you down, and you're saying, I've got to fix these things, that's the godly sorrow that's telling you to repent tonight. So if we can help you, if we can pray for you, if there's anything that we can do for you, please come as together we stand and as we sing.